This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It was quite the scene. A stunning scene at the Capitol on Monday. For not even a vote, right? It was an informational session. And thousands of people in support of homeschooling here in Connecticut showed up at the Capitol. I mean, the place was packed. And a lot of this comes on the heels of the incident in Waterbury, where allegedly a young man left the public school system and turned out, seemingly for decades, was in an abusive situation in a home. And the question really is, when a kid leaves the system, to what degree should that child be monitored, whether it be just a check to like curriculum oversight for homeschooling? There's a big wide range of things going on here, but it clearly hit a nerve with a lot of people. And so we really felt it was important to follow up. And so we want to welcome in Diane Connors from the Connecticut Homeschool Network. Diane, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Brian. Thank you for having me.
So, was it your organization? Talk about what galvanized this turnout on Monday.
Well, out of the blue, we received information that legislators were planning this meeting.
Who's the we? Is it your organization or?
Yes. So we were invited to this information session, and all we were told was that it was to talk about homeschooling. So, okay, fine. I've been around for a few moons. I get it. So really, this did stem from the Waterbury incident. That boy was not homeschooled. There's a procedure that we go through. And if a child is enrolled, then they are subject to all the laws of public school enrollment, including truancy.
Right.
So if a child is absent for 4 or more days with an unexcused absence, that truancy law kicks in, and the schools are supposed to take certain actions within 10 days. But, Brian, they don't, because you want to know why? There are 90,000 truant and chronically absent children in Connecticut right now.
Right.
But all of a sudden, they were concerned about the homeschoolers. We have no choice under the law but to withdraw our children if we're going to homeschool when they're enrolled, because otherwise our kids would be truant. So we provide a letter of withdrawal to the superintendent of schools, and it tells them everything about the family and what their intention is to homeschool with under Connecticut General Statute 10-184. And that statute is titled Duties of Parents, and it first addresses the compulsory education portion of the law, which says all parents shall instruct their child. And then it goes on to say what subjects need to be covered and that sort of thing. So that's our law. Like, we follow that law. We're innocent until proven guilty. The homeschool community is filled with mandated reporters. We have doctors, lawyers, service providers. You know, we're a microcosm of the rest of the state as far as that goes.
I have a lot of questions. I guess the most important, simple one is there a scenario that someone removes their child from the system and says they're going to homeschool them and then does nothing that to join you, like your network? Is that possible?
Is it possible?
I mean, like my point is I worry about, I don't necessarily think there needs to be some massive curriculum oversight. I just worry about a kid slipping through the cracks. That's really where I come from, is that what if they say to the school, like, hey, we're going to homeschool our kid, and they're like, okay, and then that kid doesn't get homeschooled or doesn't join your network, and then we don't know what happens to that child.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that is a fear, and it's an understandable fear. And that's when you have to step back and look at what the reality is. And we have decades of data on this concern. And first of all, like I said, in the homeschool community, there are mandated reporters everywhere. And there are so many children in the homeschool community that they're seen not just by one teacher in a day and the same people every day. They're seen by many people, not to mention community members, you know, neighbors, family members. So it would be very hard. And I've been involved with homeschooling for 37 years, and I have never seen it happen. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but it points out how rare it is. And the statistics on that, it's very rare, and compared to the public school statistics, where 42% of the kids are allowed to graduate from 12th grade, and they are not at level.
I don't doubt that, but by the way, we're talking with Diane Connors from the Connecticut Homeschool Network. I don't doubt that statistic, but that's not where I am right now. I'm not talking about the public school system. I'm trying to understand, and I'm not antagonistic about this. I think that, you know, if people want their kids to be, you know, in environments that they find healthier and they want to have more control over the academic progression of their children, I think it's fine. I don't know the percentage of people who opt for this life join these really intricate and well established networks. That's the thing I'm driving at. And you're telling me that you've never seen it. I just don't know. And I don't know. And I don't think the government needs to be the one that the be all end all to create the statistical analysis. I'm just, this story. This child wasn't homeschooled, but maybe they took him out of the system and told Waterbury. I don't know what the situation was. So I'm worried about the children who don't have this great structure, right? That's my only concern. Well, I don't know the percentage of people that opt for homeschooling that join this kind of structure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they do join, and there are activities, tons of activities every day. There's co-ops, field trips. You know, there are so many things that are going on. It would be nothing but completely intentional for somebody to not do right by their child in a homeschooling environment.
So
it just would. And we know each other. You know, like, there's a lot of us, but relative to the population of the state, there's not that many of us.
Sure.
And we all know each other.
Just quickly, Diane, before we go, it is... What's the percentage of homeschoolers that join your network? Do we know that?
It's about 6% of the public school, school-age population. I'll say it that way.
We're tight on time. But so you believe that everything should stay as is? Like you, that's what you're advocating, correct?
I think that they do not need to fix what isn't broken. They don't need to regulate the homeschoolers. Our system works, and they need to fix their system. You're asking for somebody whose house is on fire, and I don't mean anything to do with Waterbury, but I mean public education, and they're trying to regulate homeschooling. They're trying to tell us how to take care of our house. I mean, it's mind-boggling. They have very serious problems, and they're not following the law. And here's the worst of it, Brian. The schools are such a mess right now. It's 10 to 20% of the adults in the schools are causing sexual and physical abuse to the students of K through 12.
We got to go. I can't get into that. I don't want to. That's a different day to talk about that. I wanted to bring people some more information about your world and get some understanding of this so we can sort of understand what's happening. So I truly appreciate the time. I'd like to continue the conversation actually, because I have a lot more questions, but I really do appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Diane Connors, Connecticut Homeschool Network.